Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. This is your host, Stacey Emery. As always, excited to be here for another Mind Shifting conversation. I'm super excited about tonight's show because not only do I have my partner in success and crime, Dr. Ayo Kedar, joining me, but I also have our special co-host, our guest co-host that was here before. He's been here several times before. We always have a great time when he's on the show, and he held a very interesting conversation a few weeks back entitled Barbershop Talk, and he was here with Billy Miller, and they held it down for the men, but the ladies had a lot to say, and we were not allowed to be on that show. So Mr. Chris Gloss is back joining us tonight. The Possibilitarian himself is here to hold it down for the fellas for tonight's roundtable conversation. So Mr. Chris Gloss, what's up? Welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio.
Well, thank you so much. It's a plump personal pleasure as well as a privilege to hang out with you and Dr. Ayo. Tonight is going to be fired up. I'm so excited about tonight's conversation because this is an opportunity for us really, really, really to tackle some of the elephant in the room conversations. And I love that our guest identities are hidden. So that means that they could be 100% honest with who they are, not who they want to be or trying to, you know, carry on a conversation protecting an image or protecting anything. So these ladies and gentlemen that's on the show tonight, they are going to keep it, in your words, Stacey, they're going to keep it trail.
Right. And Dr. Ayo Kedar, what's going on, lady?
Hey, what's up, beautiful people? Excited about this show, you know.
Okay. Now, for those of you that are joining us in the chat room, just want to say thank you for joining us in the chat room. The chat room is now open. Feel free to share your thoughts, any comments, any questions, any concerns are welcome in the chat room. Of course, we want to be respectful in the chat room, especially considering the topics that we'll be discussing tonight. If you have any questions, you want to post it there because I seriously doubt we'll be able to take calls tonight because of the panel. They are so fired up and ready to get into tonight's conversation. So I doubt we'll be able to take calls, but please join us in the chat room. Also, you can find us online on Facebook, so you can post on our page during the show as well, facebook.com/MindShiftTalkRadio. And also you can send us an email at MindShiftTalkRadio@gmail.com. But again, welcome to all of you that are here. We do miss our partner, Mr. Billy Miller. He's not joining us tonight, working on some things for you guys, but shout out to Billy, hey, as he always says. And also, if you're new to the show, just want you to know that Mindshift Talk Radio is real talk for real folks. It's all about developing that mind shift regardless of what it is that we're talking about, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, personal, professional development, even spirituality. We ask that you come to the show with an open mind and an open perspective. There may be some things that are said that you may not necessarily agree with, but we just ask that you keep an open mind because we guarantee you will have a mind shift by the end of the hour. So without any further ado, I think I've said all that we need to say to get this started. I'm ready for the conversation. Dr. Ayo, Chris, are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
All right. I guess the best thing to do would be for us to start off with our roll call and make sure that we have all our folks here. I'm sure my ladies are here, but, you know, I don't know how guys do normally. So you might want to just make sure all your people are here, Chris.
Well, I already know the guys are on time. You know, that's how we do. We make it do what it do or make it do what it don't, depending on the situation. So let me make sure my brothers are here and sounding good. Brother number one, are you here?
Hey, I am here, ready, and glad to be a part of the show tonight. Let's do it.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how we bring it. That's how we bring it. Brother number two, are you in the place?
Present and ready.
All right. Brother number three, are you there?
Roll call here.
All right. All right. Let's find out if the ladies made it, if they're fashionably late and on time. Lady number one. Lady number one, are you here?
Fashionably here.
Oh, I can feel the love. I feel the love in her voice. I feel a lot of love coming from lady number one. I'm going to stay my distance. I feel like I might get cut. I understand completely. Fellas, you got my back, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, you don't have to use that tone of voice on me either, lady number one. lady number two, are you in the house?
Yes, I am.
Ooh,
hey.
Boy, that's cold as ice right there. All right, Stacey, your ladies are in the house.
Hey, girls. See, we're here.
Hey.
We're representing. Woo-woo-woo. All right. Woo-woo. So, everybody's here. I'm so pumped up right now. This is going to be so cool. Okay. All right. So, we're going to go straight into it. Now, we have quite a few things that we wanted to touch on. There was a lot that was shared on Barbershop Talk, and we just don't have enough time to go through all of it. But we picked a couple of things from that show, as well as some other things that the fellas didn't have time to address on the last show. So we're going to start off with our first one. And to get this first conversation piece started, we're going to play a clip for you. And I want all of you guys to listen to this clip. You know, listen very carefully, because after it's done playing, I want to hear your thoughts about it. And we'll call you guys out and we'll go in order to hear what your thoughts are on it. So give me 1 second.
Yes, I'm married and bored out of my mind. But it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. If you're in a good relationship, chances are you are bored out of your mind. All good relationships are boring. The only exciting relationships are bad ones. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow when you're in a bad relationship. And those are the choices you got in life, man. You can be married and bored, or single and lonely.
Married and bored, or single and lonely. Chris, I'll let you start to ask the fellas what their thoughts are on it.
All right. Any of you brothers got any thoughts on that, about being married and bored or single and lonely? Is there any truth to this, brother number one?
You know what? I really don't think that you can be married and bored. If you're going to be married, you're only going to get out of it what you actually put into it, right? If you have two individuals that is definitely about pleasing one another, making sure each other is happy, being a team player and being supportive, you're good to go. Single and lonely, that you have those days sometimes, but I don't think that that is a consistent basis. Sometimes you can be single and be happy within yourself. So that's a personal preference.
Personal preference. All right. Brother number two, what's your thoughts? Married and bored, or single and lonely?
Well, I agree with number one. I don't think that you can be married and bored unless you're a boring person. I mean, you produce what you want in life. And you know what? Marriage requires you to put in it what you want out of it. And so that's no truth. I'm glad that was a comedian talking. He just gets laughed, but really there's not a lot of substance to it. However,
but now
you gotta
agree that in some relationships, though, some relationships you can hit that brick wall, just like in a marathon. When you hit that 20, when you get up there in those later miles, you kind of hit that brick wall. You know that's possible, but I understand where number one and number two is going. All right, number three, what are your thoughts around being married and bored, or single and lonely?
Well, I've never been married, but I can only speak from relationships. I've been in relationships where I was totally bored. You know, and when I hit that boredom part and realized it wasn't going anywhere, I knew it was time to get out of it. But again, a lot of it has to do with how much you're willing to put into it. And, you know, because you're going to get out of what you put into it. You know, I don't know whether it was because of me, I changed or she changed, but, you know, you do hit those points where in your life or the relationships you do get bored. Single and lonely. Yes, you do have those lonely days when you're single. You know, it happens. But you know, you can still be a happy person. There are days where you want that person there. There's days you hate coming home to an empty house because you're tired of being alone in the house. And you can have those lonely moments, especially during the holidays.
Right. I remember this speaker once saying, you know what, it's better to be alone than to wish you were. Sometimes you be thanking God, boy. You be like, thank you, Lord. All right. So what our sisters have to say, what our ladies got to say? Lady number one, what's your thoughts around married and bored or single and lonely?
Well, I think, to start off, you cannot make anyone happy. You can only enhance what's already there. So if it's nothing there, it doesn't matter if you're single or married. If you're just dried out, you're dried out. So at the end of the day, the way I feel is that in any situation, either one can be true, but it's important to love the person that you're with and really trust them. And when you reach those valleys where you approach those hard times, whatever the case is of why you feel that way, you have to commit to each other and stick through it. And that's just how I feel about it.
All right. lady number two, what's your thoughts?
Well, honestly, I am married, and there can be days that they are boring, depending on what the situation is. I could be bored if my husband is away at work or at the gym, and I'm at home with the kids, and they're going to bed, and I'm bored for that moment. But when he comes home, no, that time is not boring. But you can be bored by yourself at moments.
So what are some very things? Right. Well, Dr. Ayo, she's also been married about 11 years. So, Dr. Ayo, what's your thoughts on that as well? Married and bored or single and lonely?
Yeah, you know, that's so funny that you said that, because I was thinking, well, I think you can be, I agree with brother number one with what he was saying, that, you know, it's really up to the person. But day after day, you know, 10, 11, 15 years, can it get kind of boring? Yeah. I mean, let's keep it real. You guys hear people that they don't want to go home. They don't, you know, it's the same old thing. And that's when, you know, I guess we'll have to talk about how to keep it spicy. That's a whole, you know, but yeah, it can get monotonous. But I kind of agree with what Chris Rock said. You know, if you're in a good relationship, it is kind of boring. I mean, it can be, not in a negative way. I don't think boredom has to be a bad thing. But yeah, it can get kind of like, okay, you know, what's up? What are we going to do? Do we do something to spice it up? So.
Right. And I know Stacey has come up with some things. Go ahead, brother number one.
Hey, you know what? I definitely agree with the doctor, right? When she said that, you know, that you can actually have those times whereas, you know, every day is not a happy day. But the thing about it is that a relationship is something that you have to work on each and every day. The thing about that is, if yesterday was happy, then what do I have to do tomorrow to make sure that we maintain that level of happiness?
Mm.
Now, that's where the partnership comes in, and those individuals that, once again, you get out of it what you actually put in it. Each and every day, like you go to work, you're going to work at it. And in your spiritual life, you're going to do things to actually enhance your spiritual walk. Why not do that with your relationship?
All right. So then let's pose the questions to the ladies. Let me pose a question to lady number one and lady number two. So what are some things that can be done to liven up the relationship? What are some things that you can do to liven up the relationship to eliminate the boredom?
Well, I think you just have to know the person you're with and know what excites them. In my relationship, I've been in a relationship for quite some time. And for me, we don't get bored. We enjoy watching movies. We enjoy cuddling. There's a lot of things that we do that, of course, I won't talk about on this call, but it's exciting for us.
Thank you.
It's exciting for us.
We got the FCC listening to the call, so you know we're going to make sure it's good. Keep it true.
No,
we can talk about them on the next call.
It's exciting for us, and I think alter egos, again, if you're into that, it's important, again, to know your mate, know what they want, and again, we can get into that later when we talk about the other more intimate situations, but I will tell you, for my relationship, I think it's very important to just be able to listen, know when something is going well and know when something is not, and be able to know your mate well enough to know what they need to heal and have fun and not get bored. So I don't have bored moments because I won't allow it.
Right. You know, I think that's a great point, and that's one of the points I wanted to make in the beginning is definitely know your mate. Know your significant other. No matter what you hear out on a talk show, radio show, a book, make sure you know your partner because you're not going home with those other people. So you make sure you know who your partner is. I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense there. All right. Anybody else wanted to weigh in on that before I pass it back over to Stacey? Because she has some thoughts on keeping the relationship going strong and eliminate boredom.
Any thoughts? All right. So before we go into that, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery, the personal development expert, Dr. Ayal Kedar, the natural Zen diva, and Mr. Billy Miller, the motivational minister. Tonight's special awesome guest host, Mr. Chris Gloss, the possibilitarian, holding it down. And we have a phenomenal guest panel. I mean, they're already getting fired up in this conversation, guys. I'm over here cracking up. I was muted out with some of the things that I heard. But I just had one comment before we move on to the next piece when we were talking about it. You know, the one thing that stood out to me, and this probably is just, it's not probably, it definitely is based on even my own personal experiences, and I'm sure other people can relate to this, is that when he said, you know, married and bored and single and lonely, I'm like, how many of us have experienced being lonely even in relationship? I think there's many of us, including myself, that have experienced more loneliness in certain relationships than actually being alone. I don't think that being alone necessarily equates to loneliness. I think you can be alone, you know, you can be lonely whether you're in a relationship or not. So that was pretty interesting when I first heard that clip. That was the first thing that came to mind. Now, of course, I start to analyze everything that I hear. Some people look at the humor. I'm really, like, analyzing what I was hearing in that clip. But lady number one just said something that was interesting about keeping the excitement in your relationship. And I know some people feel that in order for you to have a healthy, happy, fun relationship, there has to be this balance. Now, you know, Chris Rock talked about how you're basically bored if you're in that healthy relationship. Is it possible for you to still have a social life? So I want to hear your thoughts about still having girls' night out and guys' night out. Is it possible to have guys' night out and girls' night out when you're in a relationship, hinder the relationship? And I'm going to start with you, lady number two. What are your thoughts?
Yes, you can. I do that all the time. My husband has his nights where the fellas, they meet at each other's house four times a month, 3 to 4 times a month. I still have my time to myself, and you can still have fun in a relationship. And we also go out together when he's not busy with his friends or I'm not busy with my friends, because we see each other every day. So we still give each other a chance to miss each other, to still enjoy life outside of each other. Because sometimes people think we are twins because we're always together. But we enjoy each other's company. We laugh. We're both goofy. So we keep our spice going. We keep having the fun of the relationship. Now, there are days that are not always so fun, but at the end of the day, we still have each other.
All right. Lady number one, what are your thoughts?
I think it's possible to be in a relationship and have an outside life. I will say that that's something that I find I'm challenged with in a relationship. It seems like the longer you're in a relationship, for me, we've become one so much that I don't really thirst for the outside world anymore. With my job and traveling and things like that that I do outside of my personal life, that takes away from my home. When I'm home, I just want to be with my family, you know, traveling and always pretty much coming up with things that works for us. So I know I have, you know, friends that they desire that, they need that, they have to go out with their girls. But for me, I don't know what happened, but over the course of my relationship, I just became whole within my relationship that I don't really thirst for that outside world.
Wow. All right. Number two, let's hear it. Let's say you. I love that answer. I love that answer. Brother number two.
Yeah, guys, heck, you need a break sometime. And I think it's very healthy. And I think it's very possible to maintain a strong, vibrant, robust relationship with a girl's night out and with a guy's night out. And I think there are times when, you know, getting away really does give you that opportunity to miss the other person. And I believe it also enhances the relationship when they come back together. The bottom line is that the two, the female and the male, have to find something that they like together, and they do that very often. I remember hearing that cities where there are baseball teams, marriages stay together in cities where there are baseball teams more than cities where there are not baseball teams, because the husband and the wife gets to go to the baseball thing together. So it enhances the marriage and the relationship. So, but if you can get out and let the fellas do their thing, let the girls go shopping, I think that's very healthy for relationships.
All right. Brother number three. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you there?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's very important that, you know, you have an opportunity to go out with your friends, whether it's girls' night out or boys' night out or men' night out. But, you know, in a case like myself, I don't have a lot of male friends. Most of my friends are females. So I adopted the philosophy, you know, I'm in a relationship with you, and you have a male friend, and you say that's your friend, hey, I'm going to trust that. You know, go out and hang out with your friend because he's always been with your friend, and I expect the same thing in return. It's just what it is. You need to be able to have a social life outside of what you have with your mate. And then I think that enhances it, especially if you include her in part of that sometimes also.
Okay, brother number one.
Hey, you know what? I totally agree with, you know, guys having a night out and also the girls having a night out. It definitely gives you an opportunity to miss one another. And then, you know, one thing you have to keep in mind as well, when and if you are in a relationship, true enough, that's supposed to be your best friend, but you need an outlet sometimes. Because keep in mind, you were an individual before you came into that relationship. So you don't want to make sure that you cut out that outside outlet. So it's good. Distance makes the heart grow fonder. If you go out and hang out with your buddies, she's going to hang out with her girls. She gets an opportunity to come back home. You know, like, honey, you know, I was out with my friend. And you know what? I missed you, but I had a good time anyway.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. Stacy?
I am here. All right. I'm looking at the folks in the chat room getting started as well. So they're taking part in the conversation as well. And we have Jackie there in the chat room saying having a social life helps to keep the relationship healthy. And T. Lamont agrees. He says you have to have balance in your relationship. Well, I don't know if T. Lamont is a female or a male, but T. Lamont says you have to have that balance in your relationship. So great stuff, guys. Definitely keep the conversation going in the chat room. But we are going to move on to the next one. And thank you for all of your feedback on that one. We have another clip that we want to play for you guys. And this one is interesting as well. It's also from Chris Rock. So just like we did on the last question, we're going to go ahead and play the clip for you guys, and then we're going to ask your thoughts.
Marriage is so tough, Nelson Mandela got a divorce. Nelson Mandela got divorced. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in a South African prison. Got beaten and tortured every day for 27 years and did it with no problem. Made to do hard labor and 100 degree South African heat for 27 years and did it with no problem. He got out of jail after 27 years of torture. Spent 6 months with his wife and said, I can't take that no more.
Oh, you guys gosh. Heard that before? Has anyone heard that clip before?
No.
Yes.
No.
It is hilarious, right? Okay. So, of course, we want to hear your thoughts. But you know what? This time, before I even go into the guest panel, I'm going to pass it over to you, Dr. Isle, because I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this one. So what do you say, Doc?
Okay. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, wonderful, because my phone's breaking up. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone said a long-term relationship would be easy. I think that's probably maybe the starting misconception is that it's going to be easy. I think people, when it gets hard is when, you know, people are ready to, okay, it's not working out for me. You know, but I think you can fall in and out of love and like, throughout the course of your relationship, you can love somebody and not like them. So, you know, I guess it's just, you know, but that's funny to me, to even really to think that he served all that time in prison, couldn't last in a marriage. So I don't, you know, but I mean, people grow apart. So, you know, it's like you have to grow in the same way. You have to grow and develop the same way. So if you guys are going down two different paths, I don't think it's like you're not going to last. So.
Well, that poses our next question. So the question at this point is, do you think it's possible to outgrow your mate in your relationship, and how do we prevent that? So I'm going to pass it back over to you, Chris, so you can get to your guys.
All right. Who would like to tackle that question first? Go ahead and jump in.
All right. This is number two, and I think it's very possible to outgrow your partner in a relationship, especially if one of the partners are exposed to different levels of business, different levels of travel, different levels of ministry or whatever they're doing, and they're continually growing, expanding, and increasing, and the other person does not have anything of which it's really fulfilling and enhancing them and exposing them and keeping them current and keeping them involved, then yes, you can absolutely outgrow each other. And, you know, some people like to have a simple mindset and a simple life, and the other person gets exposed to things in life and want to do much bigger things and larger things. So it's very, very possible to do that and outgrow each other's interest. Yes.
All right, let's switch it up a little bit. So let's go to sister number one, or lady number one. Lady number one, we went back and forth on whether it's going to be sister or lady, since we have brothers, you know, we got ladies, we got gentlemen. So it's a little crisscross and flip-flop, but, you know, we make it do what it do. So lady number one, what are your thoughts on it? Can you outgrow your partner?
I do think there are relationships where the person has outgrown the other person. However, I feel, let's say in a marriage, I'll address it from a marriage perspective, you have to really keep an open mind. You're going to have to listen. You can't always be the one that make all the decisions. In my own relationship, I know there's been times that even in my career where I've grown to a certain point where my career was skyrocketing and my husband was trying to do the entrepreneurial thing, I'm constantly getting all these titles at work while I'm still watching him continue to try to get above water. So for us, you know, at a point, I felt like I was outgrowing my husband. But I will tell you, because I stuck with it and did not give up and listen and really start engaging in what is it that he feels is important about this particular thing he's trying to accomplish, and start getting lost in that, then now it's the best thing of my day to really get involved in his business that has become prosperous. So, yes, I do think it's possible to outgrow your mate in a relationship if you allow it. Again, I think it's very important to pay attention and know that at the end of the day, as long as we keep an open mind and we really want to be in this relationship, we really want this to work, then it would be pretty difficult to outgrow that person, because you'll always be together trying to grow one another.
I love that point, and I was going to jump on that at the end, but I'm glad you mentioned that about growing each other, because sometimes it's easy that, you know, you're moving forward, but it's not just about you. It's that team effort. It's that partnership. And if you're moving forward and if you're not helping the other partner, then, you know, what really do you have at the end of the day? If you're going to lose your relationship, it could be and should be more valuable. So, brother number one, what's your thoughts around that, around the topic?
I truly do believe that you will, yeah, that it is possible to outgrow one another. It definitely could be because of a professional standpoint. It could be from a spiritual standpoint, or just an individual standpoint, but it's all about being able to communicate and being able to be supportive and have each other's back. It's definitely what's going to be the key to make sure that you stay together, because it's easy. If that gets too far out of hand, that relationship is not going to last at all.
Right, right. All right, lady number two, can you outgrow your partner?
I believe there's a possibility if you guys are not on the same page at the same time. My husband and I, we sat and talked before we even decided what was wasn't on the same page as his, or if he couldn't support me or I couldn't support him, then there was no need for us to move on to a marriage. Because we have to grow together. Just like, you know, people grow with their children, you have to grow with your mate. And if you guys are going into two different separate directions, why are you even together?
Right. Right. And I think that's important, really, to look at it as that partnership and being willing to grow, right? Being willing to grow and see what you can do, what role do you play in helping out your partner, right? Because we play a significant role. What role can we play? What can we do to help them continue to move forward? So, brother number three, what's your thoughts on can you outgrow your partner?
Oh, definitely you can outgrow your partner, especially if you got a partner that's not trying to grow at all and you're on a fast pace to make things happen in your life. You know, I agree with the lady who spoke earlier, especially when she got involved with her husband's business. You know, that said a lot to me because she took the interest to get involved with what he had going on. And you just never realize the importance of that, you know. And I can imagine the levels that their relationship went to when she took an interest in what he was doing and made it important to her, you know. And a lot of times you just have to take the time to invest in each other, invest in what's important to each other, invest in how they feel, what they think, you know, every aspect of it, because if you can do that, I think it'll grow. But, you know, if you got someone who's idle, yeah, you'll see the difference.
Right. I remember hearing once someone say that, you know, the grass will always grow where you water it. And see, it's easy to look on the other side of the fence and see the grass is growing, but, you know, you got to remember on the other side of that fence that grass is being nurtured, cultivated, cut, and everything else. You know, so if you're willing to look at the other side of the fence and say, hey, it's so great over there, you know what? Grass grows where it's watered. Be willing to do it in your own relationship and watch and see that flourish as well. Dr. Isle, you have any thoughts around outgrowing your partner?
Yeah, actually, Chris, you know, sitting here thinking about it, when you really listen to that clip, you guys really, all of our guests and I hit the nail on the head with the fact of the matter is they were doing something different over that course of time. So over those 27 years, she was grown in one direction, he was grown in another, and that's where the relationship fell apart because by the time they finally came back together, they're two different people and they don't know each other. So I think, you know, I think everyone hit the nail on our head, which is what Mindshift Talk Radio, that's what we're all about here. Every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is about shifting your awareness and opening your awareness to look at things from a different perspective because everyone's going to feel differently about it. And just being aware and opening up the lines of communication and, you know, so I think that's really, if you really took that clip and really thought about it, that's really the point of it is the communication, the awareness, staying on the same, growing together because you can outgrow each other because we're humans and people change over time. So,
right, and I love the point lady number one mentioned earlier that she brought up earlier in the show is definitely knowing your partner, taking the time to know who you're with, right, and sowing into their lives, and it should be reciprocal. It should be going back and forth and looking at it as that partnership and wanting it to succeed. Good job, team. All right,
definitely. Definitely, and I like the part about, you know, what lady number two said even, just talking about that communication that she and her husband had before they even went into marriage. I think that's important. That's something we talk about probably every week on Mindshift is about having that open and very honest conversation and communication about what it is that you want, what is it that you expect. But with this being Mindshift, I do want to shift that conversation or that topic a little bit and talk about something that lady number one said earlier in the show when we were talking about understanding your mate, but she also talked and kind of led to the intimacy part of it because I'm sure also that you can outgrow your partner intimately in a relationship. And so my question to you guys at this point is when we're talking about change, how is it that we can keep the relationship interesting and spicy even in terms of intimacy? And I'll start off with you since that was your topic, lady number one.
I'm so honored that you started with me. Okay. Well,
in my relationship, I'll just be honest, since this is Keep It Real by Shift Radio. In my relationship, in the beginning, I felt that my husband had a staring problem. Every time we went out, I noticed that his eyes would venture here and venture there, and I just struggled with that, did not understand it. I'm like, am I not enough? What's happening here? Just couldn't get to the meat and bones of what was the problem with me. Well, the problem was I was focusing the problem to the wrong person. It wasn't me, and it wasn't a problem. My husband and I began to talk about it, and I realized he likes women that wear heels. He's into the Louboutins. He liked the way they look. He liked the six-inch heels. He liked the spiciness, dressing with exotic clothing, that kind of thing. I started paying attention, realized that it really wasn't a problem, stopped fighting it, gave into it, and it has been great ever since. So, again, I think it's important to keep the spice, but I think as women, a lot of times we spend so much time focusing on why he does this or why he does that and don't realize if we just do more self-assessments of ourselves, it's not that he really desired those women. He wanted me to be the one that took pride in myself and dress that way so he can look at me, and that's what happens now. We're perfect. So in that aspect, I don't have any challenges in, you know, feeling good, keeping it spicy. You know, if you want China Doll, whoever you want, you can have her because I'm committed to you. So I won't go too deep, but I'll just say that there are no limitations. Whatever you need to be fulfilled, I promise you, you don't have to reach out anywhere. I'm right here.
Cool. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that doesn't that tie into that what was that every comment
whenever,
that would be on the barbershop conversation?
Hold on, y'all. So are we saying here that it is not natural, that it's not a natural response to find people attractive, whether you're in a relationship or not? Or you're eyes are supposed to shut down, like, because you're in a committed relationship?
No, I wouldn't say that. What I would say is when every relationship, you can have a little insecurity. So for me, watching him when we go out, I mean, they could be beautiful or not. He was more focused on the shoes. He loved the look of the legs and how they fit in high heels. And that's something that I just was not into, never really thought about it. My mom didn't raise us, you know, where she wasn't exotic or anything. And so I didn't grow up knowing that that's how women should look. Once I realized that it was focused so much on why is he looking at her but not really having a conversation with him, once I changed that around and just went to him and said, hey, what is it? Why do you look at these women? It's not that he was looking at them for the beauty side of it. He was admiring the legs with the heels and things like that. So I started doing it. And we went shopping together and bought a whole new wardrobe. Not for the business part, of course. It's more when I'm corporate, when I'm home, I become someone totally different. But still being me, I just didn't know it was there. But certainly there's beautiful women out there. I just feel he's into me. I just needed to pay attention and not, you know, if you want to put on a movie and it's a Playboy TV show, so what? I mean, I'm your wife. Let's watch it together. But before, I would be shy. Like, I can't look at this. I can't. And it's like making him feel like something was wrong with him. There was nothing wrong with him. I just needed to know what pleased him and participate.
Lady number one. All right. Lady number one, there's your book. Lady number one, to my brothers two and three, and lady number two, I am walking over to my counter, right? That's a bit much, but listen, lady number one, right?
Uh-huh.
If there were more women that were like you that would know that the main thing about it is about communication, right? It's definitely about making sure you find out what is it going to take to please my mate, my man, my woman, my whatever, right? Because at the end of the day, you guys are a team. I want to make sure that your focus is right here on me. I want to make sure that I am your each and everything. There is no doubt in your mind that you're my first, my last, and my everything. I love you. You all right. You got any sisters?
I do. I have two. But they're completely opposite. They think I'm insane.
Hey, but they can't be shy because this ain't what they want. This is not shy, brother, off the five heartbeats. This is the brother that, yeah. My God, yeah. Okay. That's all I can say.
All right.
Wow.
Okay.
Let's bring it back. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Oh wow, that is so funny. Let's... Art Hamp is in the Art's in the chat room talking about you better write a book. Well, he's talking to Lady Number One. He said write a book.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. I second that emotion. Yeah.
Right,
oh wow.
Hey,
you know it is what it is. All right, Lady Number One. So, I mean, that was really great. So, Lady Number Two, what's your thoughts?
I never had my husband, well, while we were dating, he never looked at other people. He always kept his head down. But as we got married, I wasn't a, we wasn't freaking during that time. But when we got married, a whole other side of me came out.
Okay. All right, guys, let's let the lady go. Here we go. Lady number two. The floor is yours. All right, guys, we need you to mute out. We got to hear the lady.
You guys got
issues,
wow. Really. What are they laughing about? About the head down?
Yeah, they said
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah, that's it, obviously. Okay, okay, go ahead, lady number two.
Did I miss something?
It was the part about the head being down. I think that's what was that. I don't know, but go ahead.
But he always told me he never wanted to look at other, make me feel like he was looking at other people. But
mm-hmm.
he did tell me what his desires were from me as his woman inside of the bedroom.
Okay.
So,
and how did you feel about his desires?
Oh, I didn't have a problem with it. I was kind of nervous at first because he was going to just be staring at me like I was giving a show. But I finally got to the point where I got into it. Where I felt comfortable knowing that this was my husband and I was satisfying my husband's desires and his needs.
Mm. Okay. Okay, I guess I gotta jump in here because I think I'm trying to understand, do women have very unrealistic expectations to think that your mate is not going to find anybody else attractive?
Oh, no. I would want him to. I want somebody to think I'm attractive.
Yeah, because I'm
that was a joke.
I'm looking too. Like,
no,
yeah, she,
but
she's,
that was a joke that we had. That was a joke that we had between us. He would tell me, "I don't never look up. I look at people's shoes." So that's why I said I never had him for him to tell me, "Oh, I want you to dress like this," or I've never had that happen. So for you and for that conversation between you and your mate, that was something that helped you. He didn't help me. He went straight to the point and told me, look, this is the way I want, but I don't dress like, I don't wear heels like that in public, only in the bedroom for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's to each his own. You know, as we go through this panel, everyone has their own thing of how they do things in their relationship. I think at the end of the day, as long as we continue to do self-assessments, focus more on our own opportunities and not focus so much on what's wrong with our mates, relationships would last. It wouldn't matter if they saw someone attractive because the relationship is so much more than what you see. You know, for my husband, the relationship for us, we have so much history that our relationship is so much more than that. But since we're going to be together to death do us part, we might as well have a great time and turn all attitudes around from you can't be married and have fun or it gets boring. There is no boredom in this relationship because we won't allow it. We like to have fun, and we didn't end our lives when we got married. They just started.
This is a great conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio. Be sure to join us in the chat room at mindshifttalkradio.com. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to share it in the chat room. Also, you can find us online on Facebook at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. And if there's anything you'd like to ask or say that you may not be comfortable sharing in the chat room, feel free to send us an email at mindshifttalkradio@gmail.com. But we're going to carry on with the conversation. So, you know, we want to hear
hear the male perspective now. You know, any guy that wants to jump in, what are your comments on it?
Well, this is number two. You know, I think what you don't appreciate will eventually leave you. And I noticed that if you'll find out what really the mate want. Let's say, for example, us fellas, if we'll find out what really turns the lady on, what she really likes, appreciate her hair, tell her hair looks good, tell her that she's fine, pat her on the behind, tell her she's the best-looking woman in the building right now, you're the finest thing out here. Those types of things, I believe, really gets the lady going. And it's easy to have conversations about what you want when you are really complimenting her and making her feel like she is the best-looking, finest woman on the earth today. Those are the types of things that I think will keep the relationship healthy and growing.
Go ahead, man number two. I tell you, go ahead.
Okay, simmer down. Brother number one.
I'm just saying.
A little cold.
That was like right on point.
Brother number one.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. That's you.
Okay. You know, I'm still trying to recruit from before. You know, I'm trying to see how we can clone number one, you know, right? She's trying to make it. You know, it's all about, hey, I'm going to do what I need to do for my man, because what one will not do, another wouldn't real, right? But I really agree with number two, right? You have to definitely make your mates, and it goes both ways, make both of your mates feel like, hey, look, you are definitely the apple of my eye. You're the best, you're the finest thing that's in my eyes. Make them feel special. I mean, you know, just like I think it was number one or number two to say that she goes out and travel all the time. If I was her, right, and I would go out and travel all the time, to make my mate feel, you know, good, each and every time that I went away and came back, I would make sure that I'd do something special to say, hey, look, you know, I appreciate you. You are the one. You are my everything. Definitely making sure you go out your way to make sure that they feel good. Don't wait till you do something wrong to make it, you know, try to buy flowers, buy candies, be like, oh, boo, you're the prettiest thing in the world. You should do that just because.
Agree. Brother number three, what's your thoughts?
I'm loving this conversation. Lady number one, you said it all. I believe this. You got to keep an open mind, period. And I got a philosophy. Go to the edge. Don't stand there. Jump over the edge. Be willing to explore everything and anything if it's important to that mate.
Right. Okay, jump over the edge if it's important to that mate. So I want to pose a little question, and I hear all this great stuff. Now, what are you looking for when you do that? What do you want in return from when you do that? What is your expectation? If you're constantly pouring into your significant other, what is your expectation? Do you have any expectations of anything coming back your direction?
You know, I can say this much. I get the joy out of seeing her happy. I get the joy out of doing things to make her happy. That pleases me, just to put that smile on her face. Now, what do I expect in return? I would like her to have that interest and the same response coming back to me.
Okay. Lady number one, if you're willing to do all that for your husband, to keep him happy and to keep that, what kind of expectations do you have that should be coming your direction in your relationship? Or lady number two, whichever one's
right. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that my question? Okay. I didn't know you. It must have went out. What did you ask me again?
What do you like when you position yourself either lady number one, lady number two? When you position yourself to do that for your spouse, to go ahead and become what his desire is, what are you looking at in return? What's your expectation that should be coming back to you in return? Since you're willing to be flexible and do all that, what are you looking for in return?
Well, he's flexible too. So the part that I think he has opportunities in is the part that I try to complete him if I can, or try to reach out to other people to get help or whatever the case may be. But he does the same thing. I'll give you an example. I struggled so much. I'm a great size, but I wasn't as in shape as I wanted to be. And I know that was important for him because he's in shape. And I just felt like I kept giving all these false promises and making fake commitments and never did it. So one day I just asked him, you know, will you help me out? I know I've promised several times that I was going to work out and really get the abs you've been wanting and all these things and things in the abs I want, but I just don't have the motivation, excuse me, to do it. So I asked him for his help. I said, will you please be my personal trainer, and I promise you I'm going to do it every single day. And I've been doing it now every single day for 3 weeks. I'm proud of myself. I see the results, and it's our time. When we go down in our workout room, he stays with me. He's changing the treadmill. He's getting down doing his push-ups. While I'm on the treadmill, he's getting back up to continue to put the incline, and that's a partnership. But I couldn't do it without him. I could if I just motivate myself, but I needed him to give me that push, and he was willing to do it. So, again, in the area for me, I might pour, let's say, money into him, yet I'm being fulfilled on so many other angles that I'm not strong in, and I accept that, and I'm okay to ask for help. So I think it definitely, in my relationship, goes both ways. I understand that the things I'm good at, I'm great at, and the things I'm not, I'm glad that he fulfills those pieces or at least have the willpower to want to help me out. Right. It truly is a partnership.
Right, right. Good point. Brother number one, what's your thoughts? What kind of expectations do you have if you're willing to do that, to be flexible, to pour into your lady like that? What kind of expectations do you have?
The expectations I have is the, enhancing the commitment or the partnership. Letting me know that, you know, hey, look, there's no limits that we're going to do. We're going to, like brother number three said, go out on the edge. We're going to make sure that we do everything that's needed to be done to make sure that everybody's happy.
Okay, good job. All right, before we turn it back over, I got a quick question. I wanted to ask this question earlier, but I want to go to each person. Now, this is really fast. I just want to hear the first thing that comes to mind, just a quick response about this question. What do you think it will take in this day and time that we are now, this microwave society, the society where a long-term relationship is about 4 weeks? What do you think it will take for a relationship to really last like the 20, the 30 years, the 40 years, until eternity? What do you think it's going to take? So I want to go around real quick. So let me start with lady number two. What do you think it's going to take for relationships to be like the relationships of old, where you see people together at 70 years and 80 years and death do you part? What do you think it's going to take? So let's go around the table real quick, and I'm going to pass it back over to Stacey. So we're going to start with lady number two.
Okay, number one, you have to be committed to each other. You have to learn to love each other no matter what the other person does. You have to always be in love with that person and enjoy what they want and the same desires that you want. They have to learn to love those things as well.
All right. Good job. All right. Brother number two, what's your thoughts? Real fast, real quick, what's your thoughts on making relationships work?
Commitment, compliments, and doing things fun together.
Okay, I like that. Lady number one, what's your thoughts around keeping that relationship to last 70 years, 80 years into eternity?
Continue to keep honesty in the relationship, be true to yourself, and continue to enjoy life.
Like that. Brother number three, what's your thoughts?
Being willing and being open.
Being willing and being open. Brother number one.
I would definitely say commitment, motivation, and open.
And open is good. Dr. Aya, what's your thoughts on making that relationship last to eternity?
Man, eternity, that sounds scary. I
blocked
that a lot because when we put those vows, I was
going to... Hold on. Dr. Aya, did you say it sounds scary?
Yeah, that's scary. I can't even think of what for the next 20 years. You're talking about eternity? That sounds like death. What are you talking about? I mean, I'm a little unorthodox anyway with how I think. And when me and my husband, we were sitting there saying those vows to each other, in my head I was thinking, boy, wow. You know, like, I mean, like, I love, we've been together for a long time. And So, you know, I always knew I was going to be with him, but when eternity, man, that's like, whoa. But the things,
wow.
You know, tomorrow's not promised, I'm just saying. But I would say to keep a relationship long lasting, you have to never forget why you love someone. I mean, mm-hmm. when they are working your nerves or whatever it is you're going through, you have to really look at this person and remember, what was it? Why did you love this? Why do you love this person? I think that's really important to keep, you know, to keep something going. I love the brother that said commitment and compliments, because that's for sure. And listening and communication. I think those are some of, like, the fundamental things that I would say that, you know, why we're still and friendship, because when it, you got to be friends, because if your spouse, your mate is not one of your best friends, mm-hmm. then you probably got an issue. You probably got an issue there. So.
Expiration date. Wow. We might need to tackle that after the top of the hour. Back to you, Sage.
Wow. Everyone shared so many great points, you know, talking about the communication. I think has been coming up throughout the entire hour, because about having that honest communication. I'm hearing the commitment and really that loving each other no matter what, staying there. I mean, it leads into so many different topics we can go to in terms of forgiveness and so many other things. But, you know, I'm not married, so, you know, my perspective is a little different. I'm not married, but I aspire to be married, and I think I've been in enough relationships to learn one thing that has been very valuable to me, and that is that I think in order to have a very happy and healthy relationship, both individuals need to be happy, healthy individuals. I think many people are going into relationships, excuse me, looking for that other person to make them whole, and then the communication breaks down, and then they're not having those discussions, like you said, about being honest and open about what it is that you desire, what do you expect out of this marriage, what are you willing to give, you know, what compromises are you willing to make, what sacrifices are you willing to make, really being clear about what the expectations are for marriage. As we can see, just looking at our panel, you know, even our married ladies and gentlemen or so forth have different perspectives in terms of, excuse me, you know, what their relationship entails, what keeps their relationship healthy and whatnot. You know, so for me personally, like I said, I'm not married now. I'm in a great relationship, and I hope that it turns into marriage. But I learned that for me personally, in order for me to have a healthy a marriage, you know, at some point I'm going to need to make sure that I'm right with Stacey. And I encourage everyone to do that. You know, anyone that's listening to the show, is if you're single right now and you desire to have that healthy, happy relationship and you want that healthy spouse or partner, make sure that you're right. You know, we've said it time and time again, not only on this show but also on the Barbershop Talk, that you do attract that which you are. And so we really want to take those honest looks at ourselves and be very open and honest about what needs to change in our own personal lives before we go into relationships. So you guys know, there I go again. I know we're having fun with the conversation. And because of that, we've had to extend it by another half hour. So I hope our guest panel is cool with hanging out with us for another 30 minutes. Are you guys cool?
We're good.
All right, good. No one's asleep. Awesome. Because we still have another clip that we want to share with you guys. And, yeah, we want to hear your feedback. So we're going to go into our final clip for the show, and then we're going to go around again and share our thoughts about it. So here we go.
She was in the hallway with a fur coat on, bags packed, everything. And I said, hey, what's going on? She said, I'm going home. She said, what I want for my life and my children is this. If you don't want that, I'm really cool with that. But you go do you. I'm going back to Memphis. I still love you. But when you decide that you want to come over here in the same space that I'm in, until then, I'll see you later. I said, okay, this is crazy. this is the finest woman I've ever had in my life. And I'm going to blow it and let her go home. So she had set these standards and these requirements,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a woman, you're going to meet the standards and requirements. So
uh-huh.
6 months later, I was proposing, and a year later, I was married, and I'm cool with it.
Mm. So setting those expectations and those standards. I thought that was a great clip. For those of you that are not really clear what that was an interview with Steve Harvey, and he was talking about the time in his life where he basically was, it was an ultimatum basically from his now wife saying, you know, this is not what I want. You know, this is what I want for my family, this is what I want for my children. I want to be married. Basically, I'm not trying to shack up and do all that other stuff. I want to be married and committed in relationship. And so he was at a point where he had to make a decision. So with that being said, and we've talked about this already in the hour, about making sure that we're clear with the communication and the expectations. Before we pass it to the panel again, Dr. Ayo, what are your thoughts about the lady making sure, or even, you know, the man can go either way. What are your thoughts about making sure that we're clear with our expectations and what we want in the relationship?
Oh, wow. I think it was on the last, after we had the Brothers Roundtable, the barbershop show, that one of the brothers on there really made it clear of how, you know, we each have our own personal standards, but my big takeaway from that show was how much really women, we really do set the standard. And, you know, whatever it is that you're willing to tolerate, you know, if you're into sagging pants or, you know, it's like my husband said that, you know, rims are getting bigger and bigger and jewelry's getting flashier and flashier. It's not because men like that. It's because women like that. And men are going to do what they have to do to get women. So I think you should have standards. And every woman needs to realize the power they hold, you know, and run with it.
Definitely. So, lady number two, what are your thoughts?
Can you repeat the question for me, please?
Sure. We talked about making sure that we're clear with our standards and our expectations when we're going into relationship, and it's kind of what you talked about earlier in the first half hour of the show. But what are your thoughts about making sure that either the male or the female is clear about their expectations and what they want out of the relationship?
Well, you can have many conversations about it. You have to make sure that the other person is listening. I open my ears when I know what it is that my husband's desires are as far as moving on with life, his job, career-wise, whatever it could be. I'm a willing partner, and I listen, and he does the same. So whatever it is, you have to just be supportive of the other person.
Okay. Go ahead and pass it on to lady number one. What are your thoughts?
I do think it's important to have standards, and I think it's important that whatever you communicate, that you stand by it. So, you know, don't go out there, like my mom would say, selling wolf tickets. In a relationship, it's important that if we're not on the same page, that's a problem. The only way we'll be on the same page if we didn't talk through this, it's like raising children. If we've never had the conversation of how that child is going to be disciplined, it's pretty late once we have the child. Now you're arguing because I don't spank and you spank, and that is something that took place in my relationship in the beginning. So I do think it's important to set those standards as a team if you're going to be in a relationship and set your own expectations of things that you're willing to do and things that, you know, you may not be willing to do, and make sure you're with someone that can understand that, or at least be open to listening to why you wouldn't do it. Because I do have expectations in my life because I'm still a human, even though I'm in a relationship.
But how often do you think that really happens? Even just listening to that clip, for her to be very clear and say, this is what I want. How often do women really do this, to say, okay, this is what I want, and give the guy an option to make a decision right there at that point? Does that really happen on a regular basis?
I think it happens from the women's perspective that's serious.
Okay. So for the fellas, I want to hear your thoughts on it as well. And really thinking about if a woman were to say that to you, what would your response be? And any one of you can jump in.
Well, this is number two. And, yes, that does happen. Actually, I was in at a wedding 2 weeks ago in Memphis, Tennessee, and that very thing happened. Brittany was living with a guy, and she has a little girl, and actually, he has to, but they were living together, and she said, I'm moving out. I want to be married, and we're not married, and I'm moving out until you commit to marry me. Well, she moved out, and 2 months later, they were getting married. That brother finally really, he said, hey, I'm not letting this woman go, man. So he married her. And, you know, I think it's very good like when we had our barbershop thing, you do set a level of standard that what you're going to have. And if a person's not going to comply with that, then yeah, you have to move on. But if you care about her enough, and she said, look, here's what I need from you, and if you can't get this to me, I'm out of here. Well, if you love her enough, you'll make the change and provide and give the lady what she's looking for. So I think it happens, and in some cases, I think it should happen.
Hey, this is brother number one. I agree with brother number two. It really is something that definitely happens. But the key, once again, is definitely about the communication. As long as you make sure that you have a clear understanding up front, so there's no misunderstanding down the road. Once again, you have to make sure that you're listening to your mate, and then, hey, if you tell them, you know, if they can't meet your standards, then you're giving them like a time frame or saying, hey, look, this is what I want. If they're not going to step up, then, you know, sometimes you have to move on for them to be able to appreciate what they have, just like the brother did. His old lady told him she was going to step out. She was going to leave. 2 months later, he was like, you know, hold on, my bad. I've come to my senses. I need to make this happen. So it happens. So that's what sometimes you have to do.
Uh-huh. And brother number three, what are your thoughts?
Brother number three. Standards are very important. You know, a person never knows where you're at until you tell them. I can appreciate a woman telling me straight up, these are my standards. I can respect that. And the thing is, when she tells you that, you got to be man enough to step up and say, I can either make it, meet your standards, and if I'm not able to meet your standards, be man enough to walk away from it. Because you are now intruding into her life. You need to be there completely. So, you know, there have been relationships where I've been in and the standards have been put on me and I knew I wasn't there. I said, you know what, maybe it's best I move out the way so that you can find the person that can meet those standards. You know, at this age I'm at now, I'm realizing more and more, hey, I got some serious standards. And those standards came through trial and error through relationships. And I'm not tolerating anything that comes in that don't meet my standards. You know, and it's not just about the women having standards. Hey, that's a great thing. Have your standards. Don't settle for anything less than what your standards are. Because when it comes to me, I'm not settling for anything less than what my standards are. It took me a while to go through enough to understand that. Hey, you know, a lot of people say all the time, you're just picking all of that. Hey, that's cool. Call it what you want. But these are my standards. You don't have to live by my standards.
Mm-hmm. Possibilitarian, what are your thoughts?
Sounds good to me. Better to have them and not need them than to need them and not have them. Everybody has a standard. And I think a person would be lying if they say they don't have a standard. But here's the thing, though. There's certain questions you still have to ask with your own standard. Are you meeting the standards that you have and you want to place on another person? That's one great question. But another question is, how flexible are you? Because remember, people are people. People have different backgrounds and different upbringing. They might be flexible to coming up to a standard, but you know what? They may not feel that standard. But how flexible are you? Unless we're going to think that, you know, this standard that we have is this perfect person, and if we can't have this perfect person and we have nobody, it might end up to what Chris Rock talked about earlier, being single and lonely. So, you know, to be a little flexible with even the standards we create, because sometimes it takes a person to grow to something, help a person grow to see, to understand, versus, you know, having all these expectations that nobody can reach, not even yourself. You know, so when we set standards, you know, let's be mindful of, we're still dealing with people, and people are willing to come up, but you'll have some flexibility in what you want.
Definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, one more quick thing with that. But even with standards, and we talk about this long list people have, I'm not talking about a long, 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 long list that we hear so often and frequently about. I think at the end of the day, I think we probably all could agree that there are some deal breakers that we can't live with. And that should be very small and very few. And I think that's where
a lot of focus could be with your deal breakers versus a list of 20, 30, 40 standards for somebody to meet and might not ever meet in life, you know, but I know there's some deal breakers that could definitely help get some focus on that.
All righty. Well, you are listening to Mindshift Talk Radio. Joining us at mindshifttalkradio.com in the chat room. If you have any questions or comments, we invite you to join in the conversation in the chat room or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. And I like what you said just now, Chris, when you were talking about the deal breakers. Instead of getting so caught up in the list of standards that we have, just really having a few things to say, well, this just cannot fly for me. But one thing that stood out for me, even when brother number two told a story about the marriage that he recently, the wedding he recently attended, you know, my question is, why does it have to get to the point where the couple has been living together for whatever amount of time it is, and then the woman has to leave and say, okay, I'm tired now. Now I'm looking for him to finally say, okay, let's get married now. Why does it have to go that far before the brother decides that he wants to marry the lady? I don't understand that.
The fear of loss.
Hey,
fear of loss.
I just want to, I guess the thing is, though, Stacey, we're going to have to back up with the marriage thing, because marriage is a contract, and people feel differently about marriage based on what their religious beliefs are. So some people can view, you know, marriage is not a big deal to them. Being married in a church or what have you, it's, you know, that's a religious thing. So not everyone's going to see being married on the same page. So I think we kind of have to start with that, because I don't do well with ultimatums. So if somebody was to come at me with the ultimatum of marry me or else, then we have a problem. So I think we kind of have to start with defining what marriage means to the individual before, you know, before you can really get into that. So because everybody's raised differently and has different views about what marriage is and what a marriage should be.
Well, see, my whole thing is this, though, about the fear of loss factor. It's like, so is he really marrying this woman because he wants to have that happily ever after, or if he wants that till death do us part, or is he just doing it because he just doesn't want to be without her? You know what I mean? Like what's the motivation for getting married? Is it only because I'm afraid of not having you in my life, not so much that I want to spend the rest of my life with you and I want us to build something together and you're the only person I want to be with and all that wonderful stuff we hear? Or is it just like, well, I don't want to start over. It's comfortable. You've been here this long. I like the way you cook, you work every, you know, what is it? Like, that's what I'm not understanding. Why does it have to get to that point? And then it also draws the next question, like, well, is it better for both individuals not to live together and only date and move in together once they're finally married? Mm-hmm. Is that a better option? I don't know. Any comments, questions?
Well, I'm number two, and I would say no. You find out before you move in with somebody what they're about.
Okay. So do you think it's better to live together before marriage?
I definitely think so.
Okay. Why is that?
This is brother number one. I definitely believe that it's very important that you should live with someone before mm-hmm. you actually marry them. Because dating someone and spending the weekend at somebody's house or a couple days here and there, that's not going to give you the real person. Because it's somewhere down the road, there may be something that being around that person for a long period of time that you have to make a decision, is that something that you can actually deal with? It may be something that annoys you. But I think the situation, to comment about the brother that decided to marry his girlfriend or whatever before after she gave him the ultimatum, the thing about it is that maybe they should have actually set up a game plan before he actually moved in. And saying that, hey, look, we're going to move in, we're going to live in together, and this is September. We need to be setting a goal to say by March or within the next 5-6 months, we need to be saying, I walk across that down that aisle saying, I do, you do, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm one of those type brothers that, you know what, I'll take the worst of the two. If you give me an ultimatum, I'm just going to take the worst and deal with it. I'm sorry. You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. All right, kick rock.
Great.
Kick rock. Wow.
Thanks for the year, baby. Kick rocks.
I think that's what Dr. Io was trying to say, but she was a little bit more politically correct.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You said this is real radio, real talk, right?
That's right. Keep it real.
Well,
okay, I appreciate it.
Well, that's a
lady number
about
one.
Living together before being married.
Where's lady number one?
I'm right here.
Okay.
I think it just depends on. I really think whenever there's a question posed, it really is all up to the person and to what their standards are. For me personally, I would not get married and not live with the person or have experienced the person. I wouldn't do it.
Wow. I'm sitting here quiet because, I mean, well, no, I don't know. Okay, well, let me just ask this. Is that the consensus across the board? Does everyone agree with that, that you should live with the person before you get married? Guy number three, do you feel the same way?
Based on the way that I was raised, I don't believe in it. You know, if I'm going to be living with you, I might as well be married to you.
Right. Like it. Guy number two?
I don't believe in it. Matter of fact, when I got married, we didn't do that, and really didn't have sex. We were in the church. Yeah, I know a lot of guys say, you got to be crazy. No, I'm telling you the truth. It's what we did. It's what we decided to do because we made the decision. And I think if you can make the decision to do it, then that's how you can do it. But living together, absolutely not. When I really wasn't even in the church, this girl I was dating, she suggested we move in together. I left her. So no, ain't no way. I'm not doing that. And, you know, if this is what you got to have, and if moving in with me, then go. So we ended up breaking up because my mother would have killed me. I'm not doing that.
That's so cute. I like that.
Wow.
And we heard lady number one already. And lady number two, did you comment on that as well?
Yes, so I think you should, honestly, because you learn a person a little bit more, and they can hide things from you that you are not able to see while you're just dating or spending the night at each other's house.
Okay.
He may not like to clean up, but he clean up real quick before you come over. And I'm a neat freak, so I like my things to be neat all times, and I don't want you hiding things, or when we move in together and we're living together along the line, you just, you know, yourself comes out. Where you don't pick up, you don't clean up. So that would irritate me.
Right,
and it won't be
to dinner.
And it won't be a marriage after that.
Doc, what do you say about
it? Can I throw something at you guys about this?
Sure,
standard?
Go ahead.
I decided one night at work to do this thing about make a list of the type of woman that I wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I made this list. It was a pretty extensive list. You know, I was just pouring my heart out on the paper, you know. And I had an awakening. When I sat down, I looked at that list, I said, oh, shit, this list ain't about the woman that I want. It's about the type of man I need to become in order to have this woman.
Oh, I like that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's deep. That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
Great revelation. All right. I'm sorry. Dr. Ayo.
I don't even know. What was the question? What's the question?
Shacking up, yay or nay?
Huh? What'd you say?
Shacking up before marriage, yay or nay?
Well, see, this is the thing here, and I'm just going, since we're keeping it real and stuff, I already said I have a very unorthodox view. And so really and truly, you know, I had committed to my husband, when we said, you know, I want to be with you forever, okay? And that was before marriage. I didn't want to get married. I only got married because I went into the military and I thought I would get more money for him being a dependent. And that's really why we got married. I mean, I'm just
wow.
Like, that's really how, so marriage is not, that was just a contract. That was not, you know, I'm not Christian. And so to me, marriage, I think when most people think of marriage, they're thinking of a biblical version, a definition of marriage in their mind. So, you know, you have to really, that's why I said, so shacking up and all of that, when you say shacking up,
again, that goes back to what you believe in. And if you believe in, you know, what the Bible says and, you know, your religious beliefs, whether you consider it shacking up or not. So I don't even, you know, so I'm just going to be real with you guys. That's how I feel about it. I don't, you know, we did live together before we got married. So in that context, we definitely shacked up, you know, so, yeah. All right.
For the love of my name.
Come on, baby. That's right. Sign that contract for the love of money.
Love
you get
of
insurance. You get tax breaks. Okay, let's keep it real. That's why we got married. The tax breaks. But we would have still been together. You know, we 11 years in. We would have still been together because I had committed to him in my heart that we were married before we ever signed a contract. So.
Right. Love it. All right, Gloss. Mr. Gloss.
All right, sounds good. I mean, I understand both sides of it. I really do. I can understand someone wanting to be able to live together, and I can understand it from the other perspective of not wanting to, right? And I think that's something that people are really going to have to come to grips within themselves, because when you look at the other end of the spectrum, the divorce side, you know, where, you know, some relationships, you know, you have you with your cable company longer than some relationships are lasting, you know. So it's like when you look at it, you know, it depends on that couple. It depends on that person. What is it you really want? I mean, I can look at it from both sides. I can see the pros and the cons from both angles of it. You know, I'm not choosing to do it in my relationship, but I can understand someone wanting to, because when you wake up one morning and you find out you married Chucky and all this crazy stuff is happening in your life, you know, you start like, man, maybe I should have, you know, lived and found out. You know, I didn't know you like to burn the bed, you know, when you don't get your way, you know. I should have learned that, you know, you like to put lighter fluid in my Kool-Aid. You know, I should have learned when you don't get your way, certain things happen, right? But, you know, I can understand the other perspective as well. You know, I don't choose to operate in that, but I understand.
Wow. That is funny. Well, guys, you know, this conversation has been great. Again, I thank all of you, Lady 1, Lady 2, Guy 1, Guy 2, Guy 3, definitely you, Chris, and Dr. Isle for joining us tonight, for being on the show and just being so open and honest and transparent and definitely entertaining, to say the least. It's just been a great show, just hearing your thoughts. I think many people have these questions. You know, we wonder what the other person thinks, you know, whether it's the male or the female, what's their perspective, what do they look for, what do they want. And you guys were awesome even on the barbershop conversation, and part two has just been amazing. So I thank you guys for just being, you know, very transparent and true to your beliefs. You know, no one came on the show trying to sway anyone else or persuade anyone to see things the way they see it. It was just like, you know what, we basically agree to disagree in certain areas. And there were a lot of commonalities as well. You know, as we said before, there were a lot of things that everyone pretty much agreed on when it came to the communication piece, as well as the commitment in the relationship and going into the relationship, setting the right expectations. So thank you guys so much for being here. And we're coming up at the end of the show. And before we close out the show, just want to give you guys an opportunity to tell us a little bit about yourself. You don't have to tell us your name. But I think it would be cool to tell us a little bit about yourself, only because I think from the listening side of it, sometimes people listen to the show and they form their own opinions based on some of the responses that you share. So I think our listeners will be a little surprised to hear a little bit more about you guys. And it can be very, straight to the point in terms of, and very basic, just sharing, you know, maybe age range, do you have any children, are you married, are you single, and anything else you'd like to share with us. So I'm going to go ahead and start off with Lady Number 1.
Woohoo! Well, Chelsea Goodell, I'm 34 years old, black female. I've been married 14 years, so I got married on my 20th birthday.
Wow.
I have 5 children, 2 of which are twin girls.
I'm very excited, as you can see. I love my marriage. I'm having a great time. I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Lady number two.
I believe I'm 33. I forget. I don't even try to keep up with it. So I'll say I'm just 33 for the time being, because I know my birthday is coming close. But
right.
I'm married.
Are you having a party?
Of course, always. My husband throws me a party every year, so.
What party is this one?
It's not behind closed doors, I can tell you that much.
Open to the public. Okay.
And I'm a nurse. I work two jobs, husband, three children, and just learning to love my life, learning to love myself, my husband, my children, my family, and friends.
All righty. Guy number one.
Wow. Okay. I would say 42.
You would
single.
Say, are you?
Say again? Try one
I'm
more
sorry?
Time.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the question.
No, she was questioning your age because you said you would say, so she was just wondering what your true age was. But go ahead.
Oh, definitely 42.
Okay.
Actually, an independent contractor. I do training and recruiting, and single.
All righty. Thank you. Fellow number two.
I am 50, turned 50 this year. I am self-employed. I am a business consultant. I work in the food business as a broker and manufacturer's rep, which means that what I do is help manufacturers develop product and get them to the marketplace, whether it's retail or food service. I do have two kids. My son is 25. My daughter is 16.
Oh, awesome. All right. And guy number three.
Hey, I'm a 44-year-old male. No children, never been married. Work for Kimberly Clark full-time, and I want to thank you all for using toilet tissue. As long as y'all regular, I got a job, okay?
Oh, wow.
Well, you'll keep a job.
Thank
you'll keep
all
a job.
So very much. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But straight up, I'm a straight up country boy from the backwoods of South Carolina. I love fun. I love entertainment. I'm just me. What you see is what you get. And I sell insurance on my days off.
All righty. Well, again, thank you guys for being here. You know, any final thoughts? I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to you, Dr. Io, and then I'll give it to Chris. So go ahead, Dr. Io.
Okay, can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yeah, we hear you.
I just want to thank all of our guests for coming on tonight. This was another awesome, awesome show, as always. I think we definitely did keep it real, 100% real that we're known for. But I think the main takeaways, guys, is just, you know, if you just start with loving yourself in any relationship, the factor that doesn't change is you. So as long as you get yourself together and you do what you need to do and keep the lines of communication open, I think, hey, sky's the limit.
That's right. Amen. Mr. Chris Gloss.
Yeah, I just want everybody to remember your relationship. Remember the relationship that you're in. You know, you can read books and listen to all the radio shows and watch TV shows, listen to talk show hosts all you want. Remember your relationship. I love what Lady Number One talked about, how she just nourishes her relationship. She gives into it. She pours into it. And look at the abundant flow she receives out of it. And I think that's possible, not just for her, but for everybody. Remember your relationship and know your mate. Know your mate, what your mate likes. And you know, sow into their lives. Give them what they desire. Become their fantasy, and I'm sure that they'll become yours.
Awesome, I love it, and I agree with both of my partners. If anything, I would say my one takeaway for the show would just be to make the commitment to be a happy, healthy, whole you. If you're looking to have a happy and healthy and whole relationship, look to be that individual, just like guy number two said, or guy number three said, that list pretty much showed him who he should aspire to be. I encourage you all to do the same thing as well. And like Chris just said, happy with your relationship, be content in that relationship, and work to make your relationship the best relationship you can possibly have. But again, thank you all for tuning in to Mindshift Talk Radio tonight. We encourage you to join us every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Spread the word to your friends and family members, and we hope to see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mindshift Radio.